Okay, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible is the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not which refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Here we have the contrast between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. And again, we have the continual contrast in the book of Hebrews of the picture of Jewish Christians or Jewish professing Christians, the contrast between the law and Moses and the Old Covenant and Christ and the New Covenant. If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 19, Exodus chapter 19, the people were out outside of Mount Sinai. And verse 12, it says, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. And of course, we have the picture of a holy God giving the law of God to the people of Israel. The Bible says, verse 13, there shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And so here we have a picture of God meeting the people of Israel and God delivering to them the law. Now, only Moses and his servant Joshua were able to go up onto the mount. The other people were only able to come to the base of the mount. And as they came to the mount, they saw the darkness and the clouds and the lightning and the thunder and the thick cloud upon the mount and the fire of the Lord burning on top of the mountain. And, of course, the people trembled as the Lord spake. Of course, here is a revelation of a holy God. Here's a revelation of a holy God who's giving His law and is revealing to the people that He is a holy God and that sin cannot come into His presence and that a man will be consumed by the very presence of the holiness of God. Now, this is an accurate picture of God. This is the accurate picture of who God is. That that He was holy and that they could not in themselves approach unto Him. And that they were sinners. And of course the law was delivered which showed man his sin and his sinfulness. Now this picture of God is a picture of God revealed under Moses. And the people of Israel were thinking, oh, we'll go back to Moses. We'll go back to the old covenant. And the picture here is, go back to the old covenant. Go back to an unapproachable God. Go back to a God that without Jesus Christ, you would be destroyed. Without a payment for your sin, you would be consumed. That's what they were thinking about, going back to the old covenant. So we see the ridiculousness of going back to Judaism. We see the ridiculous theological reality of the picture of the God that they are going to go back to. Now, that God, that holy God, sent Jesus Christ. And, you know, I think it'd be good to, maybe Thomas, you ought to write a tract. You know, a tract about the holiness of God. That's a part of the gospel that's eliminated nowadays. A holy God. A holy God that is unapproachable. And that's why He had to send Jesus Christ. He had to send Jesus Christ to pay our payment. To pay the price of our sin. To shed His blood. And you know, that God is approachable. Amen. That God is approachable. You know, what a contrast. And, of course, we see that picture in the latter part where it says, we aren't come to Mount Sinai, verse 22, but you're come unto Mount Zion. And, of course, Mount Zion, there's the picture of the heavenly Jerusalem. It's called Mount Zion. But Mount Zion is where Jesus was crucified. Here's where God was made approachable. It was through the Lord Jesus. It was on Mount Sinai, Mount Zion. You know, you just think about it. The person who doesn't want Jesus Christ, they need to go back to Exodus 19. They need to go back and to see the holiness of God. And that sinful man would be consumed in His presence. But here we have, but you're coming to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And of course, this is a contrast between earthly Mount Sinai and the contrast between that and heavenly Jerusalem, the city of God. I wish that you guys would sing that song every other week almost, about the rivers flowing. There is a river flowing. I love that song. That's a great song. A picture of the grace of God and the rivers in heaven. And so it says you come to the heavenly Jerusalem. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. And why could he go and prepare a place for us? Because he shed his blood and he took that token of his blood to God the Father in heaven, to the very altar of God as our propitiation. And so he says, instead of coming to the thunder and the lightning and the dark cloud and the trumpet and the voice of God that was unapproachable and so powerful that the people said, no, we don't want to hear that voice. It says, our approach is to the heavenly Jerusalem and to the innumerable company of angels. And of course, Revelation 5:11 talks about that innumerable number of angels. And to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And basically, what's he saying? You can go to Mount Sinai condemned, because God would be your judge. Or you can go to Mount Zion, where sin has been judged through the Lord Jesus. You can go to Mount Sinai, or you can go to Mount Zion. And it says, unto me, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, this is just the introduction to the last warning in the book of Hebrews. And verse 25 is the application of that warning. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, I will shake not only the earth only, but also heaven. Again, a huge contrast between the two covenants, the old covenant and the new covenant. And a huge contrast between the God of Sinai, who the people were so fearful, they said, stop, we don't want to hear his voice. And just the one who shook earth, and he says, just think of what it would be like if the people said, no, on Mount Sinai. How much more so would be the terribleness of that voice, of that judgment, who have refused Jesus Christ, who paid for their sins. I think that's the picture. Our final warning of the book of Hebrews. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, again, we're reminded of your holiness. And we're reminded of that your holiness is more than man can not only comprehend but can stand. And then we see the lovely Lord Jesus, the approachable Savior, And those who come to God through Him will be saved from every sin. And then we think of the terrible contrast of what it would be for those who know of Jesus Christ and to refuse Him. And Mount Sinai would be nothing in comparison to that. And so, Lord, I pray that You would use Your word in this day in which we have forgotten about the holiness of God, as we have many times overthought or wrongly applied the goodness of God through the Lord Jesus, that we can just ignore it or put it aside and it will be no big deal. But Lord, I pray that You'd use Your word, and I pray You'd speak to hearts, maybe while heads are bowed, maybe even you tonight. You have thought very lightly of rejecting Jesus Christ. You thought very lightly of it. And God has a little picture here of how it would be to face a God who sent the Son for you and you have rejected Him. And God is speaking to you about your need to turn to Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be your Savior, to be your Lord, and stop going your own way. And you say, just by an uplifted hand, say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. God is speaking to my heart. Anyone here tonight? God is speaking to your heart. Okay, praise the Lord. I need to be saved. God is speaking to my heart. I need to turn to Jesus Christ as my Savior and to receive Him as my Lord. Anyone else? God is speaking to your heart. Pastor, I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? Perhaps you're here tonight and the darkness of the hour has caused you to think lightly or flippantly about the great privileges that we have in Christ. And God is speaking to you about that. Or perhaps God is speaking to you really the opposite of the great privilege that we have to approach the God of heaven. And we have a living Savior who paid the penalty of our sin. And we don't have to face God as the judge of our sins. We can face God as the Redeemer. And the Lord is speaking to you about how you ought to live for Jesus Christ and gladly serve Him because of all He's done for you. And the Lord's speaking to you about that tonight. And there's a decision that a turning to Christ that needs to be made in your life tonight. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. God's speaking in my heart about that. Anyone here tonight? Okay. Praise the Lord. There's a turning to this Savior. I need to be serving Him. He's done so much for me. I need to be serving Him. The Bible says we ought to serve Him with reverence and godly fear. Lord, we thank You tonight for the Word of God. And I pray for these that need to be saved and others who did not raise their hands that were fearful. And I pray, Lord, for those that You spoke to about the privilege they have in Christ and what is a joy to be able to approach unto God and to come into His presence immediately through the Lord Jesus and the grace and mercy that we find in Him. May, Lord, in our joy, may we serve You reverently and with godly fear because of who You are. Now bless our time of prayer. Might You join our hearts together. Might, Lord, it not be ho-hum, pray a little prayer time. Lord, might it be that we're interceding for precious souls that need to be saved and the power to be delivered from the power of darkness into the glorious kingdom of God. For the needs of this church that only You can provide, And might, Lord, we look to you in faith, because, Lord, without faith it's impossible to please you. And so, Lord, might you work in our hearts as we come to thee in prayer. Might your Son be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen.